People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
If it's going to happen, you're going to have to eliminate excuses.
So are you fighting procrastination? Are you fighting excuses? Are you fighting low self-esteem? Ladies and gentlemen, get your dukes up. Get your hands up and get ready to fight. See, let me tell you something. Trouble can be a bully, but you better learn how to land the first blow. Lesson number one, acknowledge the fight. Who are you fighting? Who is your battle with? Key number two, what is your strategy to win? Are you going for the knockout blow? Are you going to kill him softly with a couple of jabs? You might be in a situation right now where the doctor said to you that you're not healthy, your body's failing, you might even have cancer. Oh, that's not just a battle. That's going to be a war, ladies and gentlemen. But to win fights, you got to have stamina. You got to be ready to fight and bounce back. Punch and counter punch. Jab and jab back. Let me tell you something. Life is a series of fights. The worst thing you can do is run away from your fights. Because if life is a series of fights and you run away, you just ran away from your life.
You've got work to do. You've got a destiny to fulfill. You've got a purpose to walk into. You've got a test to pass. You've got dots to connect. Rooms to walk in, stages to stand on, and tables to sit down at. We all want to do something. We all want to be somebody. We all want to go somewhere. And if these things are going to happen, we've got to stop habitually gravitating to excuse.
Your promotion and your next level is about you getting to this war, getting to this battle with winning. Here's the reality. I don't believe in getting bullied. I believe in altercations. And so let me tell you something. Is trouble coming your way? A fight coming your way? And you're running from your fight? You just ran from your life and you just ran from your future. I've been fighting my whole life. And let me tell you something. We're going to battle, baby. And I want you to do the same thing. Because when you get victory, you'll raise your arms up like the champ. When you come over depression, you raise your arms like a champ. When you overcome bankruptcy, you raise your arms like a champ. When you come over divorce, raise your arms in victory. I love Muhammad Ali because he did it with charisma. I float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Rumble, man, rumble. Let me tell you something. You got to be ready to fight because your life is all about fights. Here's reality. Life can be messy, but you got to clean it up. And you better learn how to fight.
When will you see your purpose bigger than your excuse? I don't know your name. But I know you have a dream. I don't know where you're from or where you're listening to me. You may be listening to me in your closet, your bedroom, the gym, the car, the bus, the train, the plane. I don't know where you're going, but I know you are going somewhere. You've got a destination. People that make excuses are not connected to their destination. They don't have an end game. They don't have a goal. You have allowed yourself to become a weak link covered under the blanket of excuses. But I'm just wondering if there's anybody here that has a dream. And if you've made your excuses bigger than your dream, the time is now to apply pressure. It may not be easy, but it's not impossible. This is not a I feel like it today. This is not a I'm motivated for a week. This is an every single day mentality. You may have to work 3 jobs. You may have to lose sleep. You may have to go to college and raise 5 children and still maintain your marriage and work your side hustle. I don't know what your story is, but if you will keep a no excuse mentality, then the sky is not your limit. The sky is your starting point. This is an every single day mentality. I never get turned off.
The hustler does not waste time. Somebody with talent, somebody with connections, somebody with some education and some experience, oftentimes they waste time. They feel like they can afford to. They feel like they have permission to, right? They feel like they've got it figured out. The hustler says, I don't have a second to waste. And so while you're sleeping, while you're being entertained, I'm beating on my craft. The hustler says, I'm beating on my craft. The hustler says, I'm going after it. The hustler says, I can't afford to miss this moment. I can't afford to overlook this critical time, this crucial opportunity. I'm going to give it everything I have, period. When you've got this hustler's mentality, you're not looking for a handout. You just know you have to outwork everybody in the room. You got to put the work in after hours. You're not wasting your time being entertained. You're not wasting your time watching TV all day. You're not wasting your time complaining about what you don't have. The hustler has already come to the conclusion that if they don't have something, they have to become. It's not connections that wins. It's not even education that wins. I can be inundated with information. I can be educated, but with no application. The hustler moves in a different realm of wisdom, a different realm of application. They're going after it. Everything that they have is on the table. The hustler is going to outwork everybody in the room. The hustler says, if me and you are on the treadmill, two things are gonna happen. Either you're going to get off first, or I'm gonna die trying to beat you, right? Because I'm completely sold out to the dream, the vision that I'm carrying. The hustler's mentality within the context of entrepreneurship is, I am totally committed to this. I am totally committed to this. The difference between game changers and city shakers and influencers and disruptors and the people that just talk about it, people that just dream about it, have visions about it, fill notebooks about it. The difference between the two, number one, is that they are absolutely clear on what it is that they've been called to do and what it is they've been called to build and who it is they've been called to become. In order to really lock in the hustler's mentality, you must understand the distinctives that really make a hustler a hustler. Number two, a hustler is committed and consistent. So this is not a Monday through Friday thing. It's a Monday through Monday thing. Every single day, I'm beating on my craft. Every single day, I'm looking to become more than I was yesterday. I am not in competition with anybody. The hustler says the only person I am competing with is who I used to be yesterday. You may not have been born with natural talent, but you can put work in and build a skill set. You can beat on your craft every single day. Put the hours in. No days off mentality. As long as you're building, I'm gonna put the hours in, I'm gonna put the time in. There are life-changing opportunities that are going to arise in your life. Critical moments, crucial times that are gonna arise. And the first thing on a hustler's radar is not the opportunity, it's the mindset. Because if I get the opportunity with the wrong mindset, I won't maintain the opportunity. I'll lose it. And the hustler understands the power of retention, okay? So the hustler eliminates distractions. Your talent, your good looks, your connections, your education, your experience is just not going to get you. The hustler is just programmed to get things other people can't have. Every single day, somebody's doing something you're not willing to do to secure the future. And so when you go into the day with that mindset, that list will shrink. The list of people that are outworking you, it'll shrink. So you got to dedicate to creative time. You need an army to fulfill destiny. So you got to be connected. You got to grow your network. And all that you do, and your failures and your successes, learn from them. Note takers are the money makers. Hustlers take notes. It's difficult to manifest what is not written down. Put me in a room with 100 people. I'm going to take more notes than them. I'm going to listen better. I'm going to have more fun. I'm going to learn more. I'm going to talk less. And so the movement that we see across the earth, from the high achievers, the successful entrepreneurs, those who are launching businesses and organizations, it all starts with their mindset, their mentality.
Hey, I can tell how smart you are, but your life does not reflect that. What the hell is going on? You can become anything you want to become, but you're going to have to pay a heavy price to get there. The most successful people in the world are the people that can self-soothe. So can you avoid being triggered? If you're being triggered and you look outward and you're angry at the person that triggered you, that's weakness. You are manifesting weakness. You have to go, ooh, someone has triggered me. That means I have an insecurity around this thing. I need to address my insecurity. And then that's going to put you in a far more powerful position to move forward. So the people that are successful, they can self-soothe. They can stay emotionally calm in the midst of a storm. When everybody else is panicking, they're only looking at solutions. And that's the other thing about the no bullshit, what would it take game. The whole point is to switch you out of problem mode into solution mode. Most people can only see these are the 152 ways that this could go wrong. And we started doing that to say, no matter how outrageous, there is a way to pull this off. So what would need to be true for this to work?
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Stop telling me all the things that aren't going to work. Tell me the thing that is going to work. And once you get to that, you go, okay, well, if we did X, Y, Z, it would work. Okay. Now, are we willing to do that? Yes or no? And if we're not, is there another thing that we are willing to do? But at least now we're operating from the position of that would work. And successful people are about that. They are good decision makers. They are hyper resilient. They don't stop at failure. They don't get in their own way from an ego perspective. They're looking nakedly at their own inadequacies. And they've got enough confidence to get people going behind them. It is this weird thing of, dude, I fear that I'm too dumb to do the things that I want to do in my life. I never know if I'm right, and I go all out every time. And I'm just trying to make it happen. And so I have the courage and conviction to say, I know about myself. I will keep going until I figure this out. Not that I already understand everything, that I have the courage to figure this out. And then I will go through and I will weather that storm. People are intoxicated by that certainty, where I'm like, hey, get behind me. I will get us through this. I'm not telling you I already understand everything, but I am telling you I will not stop fighting until we get to the other side. Dude, the way that people will pile in behind you when you do that, I have the chills now because I know how people respond to that. So if you can manage your emotions, if you've got the courage to fight through that storm, if you're not easy to knock off your pedestal and you're humble enough to know that you're almost certainly making mistakes so that you know when to correct course, that's the recipe. To get people to understand, skills have utility. You don't read a book to get an A on the test. You don't read a book to check something off a list. You read a book to learn something that lets you do something in the real world that other people can't do. And so Elon Musk has a great quote. You're paid in direct proportion to the difficulty of the problems you solve. So you're learning something so you can solve problems, hard problems that other people can't solve. And so once you understand, oh, this is mechanical. My brain is designed a certain way. There's a certain path that I have to walk to gain skills. And then skills let me do something other people can't do. And by doing things other people can't do, I'm able to serve myself and the group. That's fulfillment. Fulfillment's the point. It is so mechanistic. It's all just deadly simple. And when I'm giving honest answers, I'm always looping around, this is how the human mind works. And every time I say something controversial, it's always about biology. I'm just like, okay. Like, if you want to fight it, fight it. You're going to die tired, and I will propel myself forward because I'm not judging what is true. I don't deal with the world the way that I wish it were. I deal with the world the way that it is.
One other thing that we do that I think is extremely powerful is we play a game called No Bullshit, What Would It Actually Take? So once we sit there and go, what is our goal? To build a studio as big as Disney. All right, before you even get started, we sit and go, what? Like, no BS, don't try and say like the things that we want it to be true, but actually what is true, that what would need to be true in order for us to build a studio as big as Disney. And so we sat there and we said, okay, it's gonna take us to put our own capital in. It's gonna take us to work hard. What does work hard look like? Is it a certain amount of hours? Is it a certain amount of achievements where you put things into place and you make sure you're always incrementally working towards that? Is it that maybe you have to, so this is exactly what we did with Quest. It was, oh, we have to put the house on the line. And that was like the no BS. That's what it's going to take for us to go all in and build Quest Nutrition. And so once we sat there and said, okay, it's going to take us to put our house on the line. It's going to take me at the time to be the supportive wife to come in and help you out. It's going to take no vacations. It's going to mean you're going to need to take a third of your pay cut. Like, we literally sat down and wrote a laundry list of what it's going to take to start in Quest Nutrition. And once we had that list, we just looked at each other and we're like, all right, are we willing to do it? And when the answer is yes, now you just know what you're heading towards. You know the type of path that you're about to approach. And so there's no surprises. There's no all of a sudden him coming home and going, yeah, babe, so the business isn't doing well. And so, oh my God, I'm so sorry, but we lose our house, right? There's no surprise. We've established what we're going to do in order to go for that goal. And in that comes the sacrifices. What are you willing to sacrifice? What are the things that you're okay with putting aside for now?
He's an American businessman, Silicon Valley innovator.
The entrepreneur, philanthropist.
He's the chairman and CEO of DocuSign.
He's Undersecretary of State for Economic Growth, Energy, and the Environment, Keith Kroc.
Keith Kroc.
Keith J. Kroc.
Keith Kroc.
I'm a former global CEO, entrepreneur, and engineer myself. I know all too well how challenging and rewarding it can be to build a business from scratch and take it to escape velocity.
But you talk about ownership, and I think that's a word that probably connects to a lot of our viewers. But, you know, they'd also be thinking, how do I do that? Like, how did you have the confidence, the ownership to say, you know, I'm ready to go pitch to the board?
Yeah. You know, I think it comes down to I built a high-performance team as we were getting going, right? And that's the most important job of any CEO. And I really believe that the organization, the company, with the best people wins. And the key is how to get them working together as a team, right? You know, the way I believe in that is you've got to have a North Star, a noble cause. You also need an enemy because, you know, that stops the water cooler talk. Nothing gets the blood stir. You know, in the United States State Department, we call it an adversary, but in business, we call it an enemy. And then the third thing you need is you need a plan. And with all these companies that I had the good fortune to build and these different organizations I ran, we would always have a playbook. And that's basically the vision, the mission, the values, the team rules, long-term goals, strategy, all boiled down to execution. So it really was a way to maintain alignment and a tremendous tool when it comes to scaling. What I found, one of the things that works, is you can't be afraid to be vulnerable. Because when you're vulnerable with somebody, about 95% of the time, they'll reciprocate in kind. And when both sides are vulnerable, that forms a connection. And that is a way that I found all the time. Or also another one is, tell me your story. Everybody loves to tell their story. And I'm just naturally a curious person, so I love hearing, that never bores me. So it's really the power of one-on-one relationships. And, you know, one of the things my dad always said is the key is when the world hands you a sack of sour lemons, the objective of the game is to turn it into sweet lemonade. For your vision, and our vision at Ariba was really simple. We said we want to build a great sustaining company into the 21st century because we had just sold Razzle, and we actually kind of wanted to keep it going. They just made us an offer we couldn't refuse. We owed that to the shareholders.
Good problem to have.
Yeah. And then the mission is all about leadership because the object of the game, particularly in Silicon Valley, is to be the category king. Because when you're the category king, you get 80% of the industry resources and 80% of market cap. Players 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they could fight over the scrap. So our mission was to create a category called business-to-business electronic commerce and to be the leader. And then the next thing under that is your values. So, right, integrity's there, courage, high ambition, accountability, respect, the basics. And then we had a set of team rules that kind of personify those values. And by the way, same team rules for all the companies. The first one is direct, open, and honest communication. In a word, the truth. Because I had seen at General Motors, when you go through 15 levels, you know, I started at the lowest of the low, production floor, to the highest of the high, where I was a staff for the board of directors. I could see how that message would change, right? The second one is no idea is a bad idea. And then we added parentheses, unless the CEOs. So, because it's all about making a safe environment.
Sure, sure.
And you can make a safe environment when you mock out the CEO. Plus it's fun. The third one is always raise the standard in everything we do, in our people, our processes, and our products. And if somebody can't keep up with that standard, you gotta do something about it. Otherwise, you've automatically lowered your standard. Then the fourth one is, we're a team first and functional specialist second. So you developers put your feet in the customer's shoes. You sales guys don't make commitments we can't keep. And then the fifth one is the most powerful one of all. And that is hire the best people, especially if they're better than us. And I'll tell you an inflection point at Ariba. You know, every Friday up until we probably got to be about 100 people, we'd go around the room at what we call the round table. Anybody could say anything they want on their mind. Ariba, we had 7 founders, right? And so this one guy stands up, our VP of marketing, one of the founders, Bobby Lynn. And he goes, you know, this opportunity is way bigger than I ever imagined.
The word entrepreneur is a bullshit term. It's one of the most overused nonsense terms out there. I can teach anybody to become an entrepreneur in 2 minutes flat. All you got to do is go to fiverr.com, open an account, and offer to make videos or images for someone. Boom, you're self-employed, you're an entrepreneur. It's a bullshit term. You have that. And then you have, at the end of the spectrum, probably the greatest living entrepreneur today, Elon Musk. But the spectrum is so wide, it's a bad definition. So there are other definitions that you got to look at, right? You got to look at, are you working in a job where you can earn the money you need to live the life you want while being fulfilled and happy doing the work you do? I think that is the definition. You don't have to be an entrepreneur for that. Many of the people creating the biggest changes in the world are not entrepreneurs. Think about the engineers at NASA. Think about the people who are inventing new technologies. Think about the people who come up with new medicines that are changing lives. Many of these people are working for companies, but they are paid well, they love their jobs, they're making a contribution to humanity. And it is enough if you're that. This bullshit idea that you got to be working for yourself is so outdated. Rather, you got to look at 3 things. Number 1, Can I exercise what I'm really good at doing? Number two, do I love what I'm doing? Number three, am I making money doing this? There are lots of different opportunities, but you got to try to find these new fields, these new things which are emerging. Now, here's the good news. According to futurist Peter Diamandis, between 2022 and 2026, the world will see as much change as between the year 1900 to 2000. In 4 years, starting next month, we're going to see as much change as between the years 1900 to 2000. New technologies, new opportunities, new things are going to emerge. The whole field of Web3 is emerging right now. And this means there's going to be so much opportunity for disruption. But if you're an entrepreneur, aspiring entrepreneur, it's good news. Because there's going to be so much change and so much opportunity for you to disrupt the established players. Someone who's starting a new business, the first thing is, don't quit your day job. You got to make sure that you have income, that you have safety, that you have food on the table. Don't get desperate and don't put yourself under that stress. Now, when I was working on my day job, it still gave me 2 hours a night to work on my side hustle. And of course, I had the weekends. You might have to sacrifice evenings. You might have to spend less time on Instagram, on Netflix. You might have less weekend time. If you can dedicate yourself, and if you can ensure that you're constantly learning and learning and learning, odds are you're going to be successful. That's tip number one. Now, tip number two is this. Don't try to do what everybody else is doing. Because if you do what everybody else is doing, it's going to be a lot more challenging. So when Instagram was just getting off the ground, right, in like 2010, you could go and start an Instagram channel on makeup, and maybe you might end up like Huda Beauty, which has like 49 million fans today. But they were one of the early ones. You got to get in early. I think TikTok is still early. So I think there's an opportunity in TikTok. Instagram, I think, is later stage. It's not just about social media. For example, coaching. Coaching is blowing up right now. More and more companies are looking for coaches for their employees. I have a coach. So many people I know now get a coach. It used to be a situation where if you got a coach, people were like, is something wrong with you? But now coaching is so, so, so important. So coaching is a really great way to make an income. I know coaches who are making millions of dollars a year. Of course, they are outliers, but they love what they do, right? Even if you were making $100,000 a year as a coach, that's a really, really, really good lifestyle. Because you're helping people, you have mobility and so on. A third one, which is with the whole crypto space. Don't be stupid when it comes to crypto, but definitely there are interesting opportunities emerging with NFTs, with DAOs, DAOs. There are some great YouTube channels where you can learn about crypto and you can start to understand that marketplace.
And what would happen if you left? What would happen if you stayed? What would happen if you changed? It's up to them to pull themselves out of the victimhood. It's hard to see from a victim standpoint the aspect that everything's a choice. And I move ahead with everything's a choice. Existentialism, that it is a choice. And how you feel about it and what you do about it. Doesn't mean there aren't barriers around you. Doesn't mean the world doesn't want to guide you to a certain endpoint. But you are in the driver's seat of your life. There's power in knowing who you are. There's not much power in being a zombie and just walking through the world and saying, well, a lot of people do it is they do stuff and they say, I don't think that's it. They do something else. I don't think that's it. Well, what do you think it is? Don't work every vocation in the world, every spot in the world as a null set until you find out what it is. Make a declaration. The leader part is that they're able to bring out those characteristics in others, that consciousness in others. They don't do it by cajoling or by manipulation. That can be done. It can be done for a short term. but it's not a long-term measure. But they actually help people in the discovery, if they're not already awake to who they are, they help them become awake to why they're in this business or organization. And together, that they start to move aggressively towards a vision. That's what differentiates teams, and that's what where work spirit comes into play. That spirit of purpose, and it's enunciated, they know what it is, and they speak directly to it. What differentiates the best leader in these systems, or the best leaders? And it has something to do with this spirit, passion, for something they hold deeply and consciously at bay. Who they are and why are they in the world becomes very important. Be appreciative that you've learned how to manage yourself, then move towards leading yourself. And in leading yourself is understanding and starting to do the deep inquiry that you'll do for life. Why am I here on earth? For what purpose? And then to establish a vision, probably as a 20-year-old, probably 25, 5 years out. Where do I want to be? What do I want to be doing? Being with, learned, knowing, all those areas. And then what values do I want to operate within? So it's really developing that vision, value, and purpose for myself. And then once I have that, then I'd say the last step is start to identify people that I align with on purpose at different levels and start to move with them into the world. Lead yourself before leading others. And this issue of leading yourself is discovering that purpose. And you start by asking the question, why am I here? I'm not talking about in the office or in that organization or in that country, but here on the planet. And that's the only way there is to start. It may be an incomplete answer. It may be a partial, it probably is. Maybe a half-baked answer. But that is much superior to I don't know and I don't want to question. There's this issue of self-awareness coming forth. And Tasha Urich is a researcher. In 2017, she put out a book on awareness. She's been trying to measure, has been measuring awareness using different categories. She speaks about 95% of people believe they are self-aware, when in fact it's more like 10 to 15%, she quotes, are self-aware. And she says, don't confuse thinking about yourself the same as being self-aware. Don't confuse thinking about yourself the same as being self-aware. And what she's trying to bring forth is that the process of working on yourself and bringing you as a being present to you is different than just seeing what your triggers are, or it's different than just seeing what your likes or dislikes, or seeing what it's really the hard work of understanding who you are and then start to guide that. And as Marvin and I say, Dr. Washington and I say, lead yourself. Lead yourself before you try to do something. So this issue about it's about the team, but it's about me. It's about the team, it's about me, gets conflicted. It's a prioritization that looks appealing to members because the lion is strong, asserts itself, roars, powerful, but never get confused who it's about. It's about that lion. Any publicity is don't talk to me about what you did. Let's talk about what I did as a leader. If you took leaders in the past, that would be a lion leader would be something like a MacArthur in the Pacific, General MacArthur. It's all about me. Most people can't name a general that was under MacArthur's command. But if you go to Eisenhower in World War II in the West, we know about Bradley, we know about Patton, we know about a bunch of them. Why? Because he was a leader of a wild dog pack, drawing together both the Brits and the Americans, all these different personalities to do what? A single focus, defeat Nazis. Yeah. Wild dogs are unique. That issue of we have a shared vision, and the vision, I don't trump the vision. It's not about me.
A legacy is something that is passed down. It is your mark. It is your footprint in the earth. It is your contribution to the world. Your legacy is something that is passed down. It is your mark. It is your footprint in the earth. It is your contribution to the world. I don't care about legacy. I'm single. I don't care about legacy. I don't have no kids. I don't care about legacy. My family never cared about me. I don't care about them. My life is my own. Why do I need to even think about legacy? Well, here's the thing I have to say to you. The thing you need to know is this. You are leaving a legacy whether you want to or not. Everybody in this room is going to leave a legacy. The question is, are you going to be intentional about the legacy you're leaving? Are you actually going to be intentional, or are you just going to let anything be passed down, anything be given to others on your behalf? Build now, but experience later. If you are going to leave a legacy, you got to start building now. I'm talking to college students, okay? Don't wait. Oh, when I graduate, in 4 years, I'm just going to live it up. And then when I graduate, I'm going to be free. I'm going to get serious about my life. Can I tell you something? I know 40-year-olds who are living under the consequence of things they did from 18 to 22. And they thought that when they left school, that they left the issue, not realizing that the issue followed them all the way into their adulthood. I'm telling you that right now you are a builder. Right now, you have to start building your life. Now, you got to start building credit. Now, you got to start building your finances. Now, you got to think like a farmer. A farmer thinks sowing. I'm sowing seeds, realizing that I'm not going to reap this until later. There are some people who are attached to you who saying, Mama, can you do something with this name? There's some people who are saying, Dad, can you do something with this name? Maybe God gave you the name to change and reverse some of the stuff that the name meant one day. I wish there was somebody in this room that say my name might mean one thing right now, but I promise after today, this name's getting ready to change. I promise after today, everybody's going to want my last name. I'm here to let you know you are a curse breaker. You are not just getting married, you're breaking a curse. You are not just graduating from college, you're breaking a curse. You are not just getting out of high school, you're breaking a curse. You are not just saved, you're breaking a curse. And everybody around you is about to be blessed because of what God's getting ready to do in your life. Some of us lived a life that stunk so bad. And many of you are paying a price for a life that you didn't live, but somebody lived before you, and they handed you down a name or a life that stunk so bad that now you got to pay forever for it. And I'm here to let you know, stop giving people this dirty, nasty, stinky life. Why don't you build a legacy so when somebody gets into the car of your life, they want to say thank you instead of I can't believe what you did to me. Everybody here has struggled with an addiction that's not yours. It was an addiction that your family didn't deal with. It was an addiction that your father just overlooked. And so it got passed down to you. And now you're struggling with this addiction. But truthfully, if you track the addiction, your father had it, and your grandfather had it, and your great-grandmother had it, and your whole family had it. And because they didn't deal with it, because they weren't thinking legacy, now you're driving in a car that you got to pay for. And God is saying, the buck stops here, that this is it. I put you in the earth because you're about to stop some stuff. You are sitting in this place saying, I don't care about legacy. You need to care about it because somebody's got to live in the life you have. You are passing something down whether you want to or not. And I'm telling you that you are going to have to look at your life and recognize that everything you are doing right now is having major and great impact. If you're going to leave a legacy, you're going to have to remember how you started, but focus on how you finished. I don't want you to forget how you started. I don't want you to forget that Father wasn't there. I don't want you to forget some of the conditions that you were raised in. I don't want you to forget some of the rejection, some of the pain. Nope, I want you to remember how you started, but do not for one second let it dictate how you're going to finish. There's somebody in this room saying, Pastor, I don't understand. I hear you, but this sermon got me all messed up. I was feeling good. And then you done preached this sermon, and now I'm thinking about the 60 years of my life I've wasted. I'm thinking about the 60 years of hurt I caused. I'm thinking about the 60 years of stuff I did. I got some college student who's sitting here saying, Pastor, I wish I heard this word in my junior year in high school. I wish I heard this word in my sophomore year in high school, because I did some stuff as a sophomore that I'm still paying for now. I did some stuff as a senior that I'm still paying for now. Can I tell you something? Your yesterday may have been jacked up, but God knows how to take the old and make it new. I came to preach to somebody today and let you know your first 60 years was jacked up, but your next 60 days
God says, I will turn it into such impact. I will give it such greatness that you won't even remember some of the stuff that you jacked up.
When they're tired, when they're frustrated, when they're ready to give up, when they spent their last dime, that's when they get started. Are you hearing me? It's when you have nothing left. It's when you depleted all your money, when all your energy gone, when you have nothing left, that's when it's showtime. When you find a way out of no way, when you find breath that you don't have, when you find energy that did not exist, when you want this thing as bad as you want to breathe, that's when you find a way.
You gotta make a decision. What's it gonna be? Failure or success? Are you gonna look back on your life and live with regret? Rise and grind. Your time is now. It's time for you to make that change and become the person that you were born to be, and become the person that you were meant to be, and become the person that God sent you here to be. No excuses, no retreat, no surrender. So change your mindset, and I guarantee you will change your life. Change the way you think, and you put yourself in position to expand, not shrink. Rise and grind. See, the mindset of greatness is obsessed with winning, and it sees the ultimate outcome right from the beginning. If you can't get up and get after it, how do you expect to win? If you can't get up and get after it, how do you expect to go to another level? If you can't get up and get after it, how do you expect to raise the championship banner on your life? It's time for you to change your perception, because the reality is you gotta put something in to get something out.
I wish I could tell you something else. I wish I could tell you you're tired, go take a break. I wish I could tell you tired, rest for a year. I wish I could tell you that it's going to get easier. I wish I could tell you it's going to get easier. I wish I could tell you that if you just keep going, it's going to get lighter. The weight is going to get lighter. I wish I could tell you that, but that's not the truth. The truth is, you got to find something within. You gotta find something within, and that's gotta push you, and that's gotta elevate you, and that's gotta drive you, and that's gotta move you. And when you find out what your why is, and your why gotta be deeper than you, when you find your why, you don't hit snooze no more. When you find your why, you find a way to make it happen.
You gotta realize your only competition is really yourself. They may be winning on the outside, but if you're losing on the inside, how can you overcome that? I'm gonna tell you how you can overcome it. Shut down each and every negative thought that comes into your brain, each and every time it pops into your brain. It's 5 a.m, and you told yourself the night before, you were getting up today. And when it's time to get up, and your brain starts saying, no, I'm not ready yet. Just 5 more minutes. No. Just 10 more minutes. No. Just 15 more minutes. You have to shut it down and say, we're getting up right now. 5-second rule. Like Mel Robbins says, you got 5 seconds to act on your impulse or it's gone. So we're not waiting 5 seconds. We're going to rise and grind. We're going to rise and shine. We're going to rise and climb. We're going to rise and give everything we got. Success is knocking at your door, but you keep refusing to open up. It's time for you to open it up and let the wind come in. Let the greatness come in. You are the definition of resilient. Don't you realize how brilliant you are? Don't you realize the capabilities of you? It's time for you to do what you gotta do so you can go where you wanna go. See, the mindset of success, it has a winning pedigree. And every day the goal is to add to its legacy. What legacy are you gonna leave? When they talk about you, when they say, oh, he slept in every day to 12. Oh, she slept in every day to 12. And did nothing with his or her life. Or will they say, that's my role model. That's my hero. I look up to that person because they are exactly who I aspire to be. The choice is yours. It's not gonna happen overnight. the marathon continues. But you can celebrate small wins along the way. And before it's all said and done, like Rocky in that movie, you will run up those steps and you'll keep running. And you'll keep running, and you'll keep running, and you'll keep running, and you'll want to stop, but you keep running.
I will tell you, if somebody asked me about my bankruptcy at that time, imagine having to ask your mom to move because you forgot to take the house out of her. The only reason I want to be rich is for my mom. Only one reason I want to be rich is to buy her that house and a car, and I have to tell her, hey, you need to move out of your house because I lost your house. And I would tell you at that moment, it may have been one of the most challenging, painful things in my entire life. But here I am 14 years later to tell you it's the best thing or one of the best things that's happened to me. Without that bankruptcy, without that experience, I would either be divorced or dead. So I'd already learned the lessons, I was practicing them, but there's still that reality of, oh my gosh, I went from owning 33 homes in San Diego alone to a rented house, rented furniture, a pregnant wife with three daughters under 10. What am I gonna do? And I gotta tell my mom she's moving. I have really messed this up. And in some respects, I was more equipped, but in others, it was like, okay, I already got the lessons. Why are you punishing me? And when I laid there in bed that day of filing bankruptcy and keeping it secret, I wasn't the person that I am today. I illuminate all my right. I am who I am. You're either going to love me for who I am, but you're not going to, literally, you're not going to love me for who I'm not. Right? You can hate me for who I am, but you're not going to love me for who I'm not. I am. I'm going to tell you the truth and illuminate to the best of my ability, spend minutes and moments outside of the truth, minutes and moments in ego-based consciousness. That's the secret sauce of what I do. But when I lied there in bed, it was another coincidence because tears were rolling down my face. I could not lift up my arms, right? It was harder almost because I knew the lessons. It wasn't like I was in that ignorant arrogance where I was in blame, shame, and justification. I was lying there being accountable, and that's hard. And at that time, accountability still was tied to what did I do to attract this to myself? What am I supposed to learn? It's evolved to what did I do to participate in it or the perception of it and what am I supposed to learn? But I remember, like, I wanted to get up. TV was on, almost like The Jacket. One of my favorite movies is Rocky. And so I'm lying there, completely crushed. And I turn it on, and there's Rocky I. The end of the movie's on, and it's that scene, the music's going, I'm crying, and Apollo Creed is just beating Rocky. And I don't know if you remember the scene. He's hanging, and then he gets to the ground, and Adrian's in the back, and he's sitting there, and he couldn't get up. Six, right? And Mickey's like, stay down, right? And everyone else, get up, and Rocky, and I'm sitting there, I'm down, and I'm watching him. He looks up. I see it. He looks up. Somehow, the music going, and he gets back up, right? And then he pops Apollo in the ribs, and that round ends, the second to the last round. And the movie continues on to eight more movies or whatever. I think to myself, what if he didn't get up? What if that movie ended, that he was just crushed? He had learned all the lessons. Remember, he went through all the different lessons in the movie that made us root for him, love him. But that one moment of bankruptcy, he had a decision to make. If I can look up beyond everybody else, I'm gonna get up. And because he got up, we all know what happened in the other eight movies. I wanted to see what's gonna happen in the other eight movies for me. Yeah, well, first of all, look up and then breathe. Think about what you want. Think about how you can help and who can help you. And then start thinking about how. And then prioritize that very first step, prioritize that very first day. Start thinking about what you want and continue every day enjoying that consistently, persistently in the pursuit of your potential. Also, have an open mind. Remember, I talk about what I think I want in the future. I'm open to learning and changing my mind. I love fast learners and I love hypocrites. And so
If you feel that way, look up and then think about what you want, who you can help, and who can help you, how best to get that done. I promise you, each day will become easier. It'll aggregate upon itself, and pretty soon, you too will be an overnight success.
I need you to take advantage of your opportunity when it shows up. Before I promise you one thing, it's going to be challenged, and you're going to be asking yourself before I promise this, can I really do it? Yeah, you can. How do I know? Because you made in the image of God. That's why. I will bless you as far as your eyes can see. He told you that. I will bless you as far as your eyes can see. He promised you that. He says, I will bless you as far as your eyes can see. Can I ask you a question? How far can your eyes see? Some people's eyes see welfare. Some people's eyes see WIC and food stamps. But some people's eyes see 100,000. Some people's eyes see 1,000,000. Some people's eyes see 1,000,000,000. Can I ask you a question? What do your eyes see? What is your vision? I need you to commit to it. Whatever just went through your mind right now, I need it to be big, and I need you to commit. I need you to be big thinking. I need you to commit. I need you to make a plan, and I need you to follow through. That's all success requires. That's all success requires. That is all success requires. It's for you to rise up, follow through, and finish. And what you're going to follow through is no different than a ball player. It's the plan. And let me give you a little secret in basketball. A shooter got perfect form. I need you to have perfect form for your success to happen. I promise you one thing. If you hold yourself accountable, you'll get there. If you hold yourself accountable, it's going to happen. The worst thing you can do is just wait for other people to hold you accountable. Wait for other people to motivate you. Wait for other people to inspire you. How about motivating yourself? How about inspiring yourself? Have you ever thought about motivating somebody else? Have you ever thought about inspiring somebody else? Have you ever thought about lifting somebody else? We need you to be a light in the midst of darkness. This world has gone crazy. This world needs you to rise up. This world needs your dream. This world needs you to achieve everything you got on the inside of you. This world needs you to be you, but in order for you to be you, we got to have you to rise up every morning. When I wake, I see that sun rise up, and I want you to be just like the sun every morning. I want you to rise up, follow through, and finish.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.